Rebuilding America. The Rick Smith Show.
The walls come tumbling down. The walls come crumbling, crumbling. The walls come tumbling, tumbling down.
You remember back during the 2016 presidential election, you had Hillary Clinton coming around, and really Bernie Sanders led this. Saying that we needed $1 trillion in infrastructure spending, of which Hillary came along and said, yes, we're going to do that. We're going to have our $1 trillion plan. And then, of course, Donald Trump jumped on and said, no, we're going to do it bigger. It's going to be huge and it's going to be fabulous. And he has proposed the idea of $1 trillion in infrastructure spending. Although, again, you know, playing the politics from what I'm hearing, they're not going to actually consider that until, well, next year. When I argue the problem will just continually get worse. But $1 trillion sounds like a lot of money, right? Well, according to the American Society of Civil Engineers, in order for us just to get from the D-plus rating where they put us right now with infrastructure up to a B, it would cost $4.6 trillion, well beyond the $1 trillion. But hey, $1 trillion is a good start. And here to talk about this and what we need and what we should be doing and all of that, I've asked Larry Willis. He's the Secretary Treasurer of the Transportation Trades Department of the AFL-CIO. Larry, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, thank you. Happy to join you this morning.
So I look at the this latest report, $4.6 trillion over the next, decade, I guess?
Yeah, it's gonna take us a while, and it's gonna cost a lot of money. But you're absolutely right. That's the number that the Society of Engineers has a peg to really fix this problem. It's a huge bill that we need to pay.
Now, as I remember, their last report, again, much similar to this one, since we really haven't done much in the years since, was I think it was like $3 trillion. And I would argue if we do nothing in the next 5 years, it's going to double on this. The cost of inaction is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Well, that is one of the major takeaways, I think, from this report. I mean, obviously, they rank our overall infrastructure as a D. In some areas of transportation that we work a lot on, Ds or D minuses. The railroads get the best grade at C. That's mostly privately funded. But in addition to the bad grade that we're seeing across the board, that it does get more expensive every year, and with Congress, I guess, every Congress and every, decade that you wait. And right now is a perfect time to address the problem because interest rates are still low. They're creeping up a little bit, but it's still a great time to try to borrow money for the federal government and state governments to make these long-term investments. And we know that from an economic perspective and from a job perspective, while we've made tremendous strides since the Great Recession, there's still a level of underemployment out there that we really need to address. So both from an immediate jobs perspective and a longer-term strengthen our economy perspective, this is really the right way to go.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I mean, I think all of us, whether you drive on roads or over bridges or you see the news where we've got levees that are crumbling apart, there's a lot of stuff that has to be done. And, it should have been done 10 years ago, but now is the time.
Right. I mean, you can keep delaying it.
I don't know that we can keep delaying it. I don't know how much longer we can delay. And this is the scary part of this because, I've driven I drive a truck on the weekends, and they have this little camera in there that it records every time the truck is in an accident. So every time the truck thinks it's in an accident, the cameras go on and everything's recording. All day long, that camera is going on and off from hitting how huge the potholes and how bad the roads are.
Right, right. Yeah, and what I was going to say is what Ed Witkin, my president, I think has said on your show, bridges don't almost fall down. They fall down. And, you gave the example of potholes. We have bridges that are, functionally falling apart. We've got transit systems that are decades behind in the investment that they need. Amtrak is in many cases operating with 100-year-plus-old tunnels in Baltimore and in other places. So the needs out there, I don't think are are questionable. And when I say, I guess you could wait, there are some in Congress that are still sticking their head in the sand and think that we can wait on some of these big investments.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, but it's going to take us. It's going to take us screaming and hollering because, look, as I've said, you look at our roads, you look at our bridges, you look at what we see in the news, and even stuff that we don't see. I mean, the airline, the airports, that you've got planes bumping into each other, and you've got all of these, the ports that need work. If we want to have a 21st century business climate, I don't think we can really do it on a 20th century infrastructure.
Well, right. I mean, as I said, you've got a number of components here. One is, a big infrastructure package would put people to work right now. And then the great thing about infrastructure is that, the positive jobs impact doesn't end there. You've got now, whether it's highways or deeper ports or more efficient airports or transit systems that are getting people to work. You now have systems that employ people on their own, and that we know from study after study really grow local and regional economies. So, when you're looking for an example in an investment in the Northeast Corridor, it is a huge economic driver. And when you have these trains that are delayed and, trains are getting shut down because they can't go through the tunnels anymore, that's going to be a huge economic tug on their economy. So for all these reasons, it really is the right thing to do, and it makes sense from a jobs and economic perspective.
Now, what I see going on in Congress right now, because I think even Republicans realize that there's something that needs to be done immediately, and if we have another bridge collapse or if we have another levee break or if we have another one of these huge infrastructure failures, that people are going to demand things be done. From what I'm seeing coming out of Congress, you're seeing Republicans pushing a national right to work bill, a repeal of Davis-Bacon. You're seeing them set up the situation to where, yeah, we can rebuild our infrastructure, but with poverty wage jobs.
Yeah, in our message to those in Congress who would go down that path is we're not going to stand for it. You can't sort of build this economy and create jobs on one hand and then avoid whether it's Davis-Bacon or Buy America rules or the other standards that are in place to make sure that the jobs that are created that I've talked about not only are jobs but they're good jobs and they're jobs that can support middle-class families and their jobs that can, grow our economy. Right to work is something that, on the same thing, we're going to strongly oppose that and make the case that if your goal is to lower wages and bring more economic insecurity, then you should pass right to work. But if your goal is to really make sure that folks are earning a middle-class income, that's something that has to be rejected. And we're going to, we're not just going to talk about rebuilding our country. We're going to talk about rebuilding our country in a way from a jobs perspective that makes sense for everyone.
And rebuilding that middle class. And look, I've been saying for a while now, if the Republicans truly wanted to have a political dynasty for the next generation or two, a huge infrastructure bill would solidify their dominance with white working class voters and with working class voters, because you put them back to work, you built infrastructure, you made them feel good. I mean, people vote on when times are good.
Yeah, look, we think infrastructure is a winner politically as well. I mean, people are tired of being stuck in traffic. They see what's happening around them. To your point, you have another bad story about, a bridge collapse or, an airport that, has delay after delay after delay. They start to look around and say, what is my member of Congress doing? And if my member of Congress isn't doing anything about it, why? And, again, everyone agrees that the needs are there. It is going to cost a lot of money. There's no question about that. But, this is a big country. There's ways to fund and finance this stuff in the right way. Obviously, a lot of people are looking at this and saying, well, this is a great opportunity for the private sector to come in and finance all this. There's a role for the private sector in how we, build and rebuild our nation's infrastructure. But we have got to push back against sort of an over-reliance on that. The idea that the private sector alone is going to solve this problem is foolish. There needs to be a really robust, you know, federal grant program in place. That's how Congress has done this, you know, over the years. They just got to make it bigger and be a little bit more bold in how they find the financing. And when you do go to a private sector model, you know, we have to make sure that the same labor protections and the same standards that apply on the public side apply on the private side, so that we're not creating just jobs, but good jobs. So that's clearly one thing that we're going to be very focused on as the debate unfolds.
That's a start. I mean, but I've been saying for a while what Trump and the Republicans seem to want is payday lending for infrastructure. We're going to really set up a situation where Wall Street benefits not just in making a boatload of money off of us, but also controls our infrastructure and our movements.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, we have to push back when the private sector is going to come in here and try to take ownership of some of our public transit systems. That creates real problems from a service perspective and from a worker perspective. And, you know, we're not the goal here of investing in infrastructure should not be to enrich Wall Street. It should be to rebuild, you know, critical components of our economy and to do so in the public interest and to create good jobs. And, you know, again, there's a role for the private sector and how you get that done, but it's got to be guided. It's got to be guided by a broader public interest and broader pro-economy perspective and not just enriching people that are already enriched.
No, but I go back to when we built the highway system. You look back to what Eisenhower did back then, and I don't remember Wall Street having a huge hand in that. I don't think we need Wall Street. I think we build roads and bridges. We build infrastructure for the betterment of the country and for us. And we charge business for it because they're the ones who really benefit from it. It just seems that we've kind of screwed that around a little bit.
Yeah, no, look, I think that's right. I think the highway program is a great example, and other components of our infrastructure were built with tax dollars or gas taxes, or, you know, again, there's sort of other mechanisms that go into funding our nation's infrastructure system. And you know, members of Congress and the administration just have to have the courage to figure out, you know, how you can raise those, you know, how you can raise the revenues and the funding that you need to do this. You know, this country spends a lot of money on a lot of different priorities, and we have to readjust some of those priorities. And, you know, and again, just to say, well, you know, the private sector will take care of it is really a mistake. And not putting federal money into that.
Yeah, so, I think the private sector will.
What? I'm sorry?
No, I think the private sector will take care of themselves, not so much us.
Right.
If you want to if you want a cash box on every corner or every time you drive across the street to, you know, ching ching, then that's the way to go, I think.
Yeah, and again, that's, you know, everyone's got sort of their own motivations here to getting involved in this debate. Obviously, if you're a Wall Street person, your goal is to make money, but if you're the federal government and if you're the labor movement, if you're sort of other people that, you know, want a broader positive purpose for investing in infrastructure, I think your goal is a little different, and we need to make sure that those voices are heard as this thing gets hammered out, because you know, there's a lot of people in Congress who want to do giveaways to Wall Street, and we've seen that already in other parts of our debate, and we shouldn't let it happen here.
There you go. Well, Larry, I appreciate you taking time for us. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Great talk with you, Larry Willis, Secretary Treasurer of the Transportation Trades Department, AFL-CIO. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. Listen to the Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
You're listening to The Rick Smith. Smith Show.